What do soccer moms buy their kids for shoes? Minivans.
I'm canceling this episode.
Yes.
Welcome to Stranger Still, a podcast where we answer the questions you never thought to ask. I'm Nick Wood.
I'm John Megan.
And today we have two very special guests with us. Returning for the second time, we have Ja'Cory and Arthur.
What's up? Hey.
With great vigor.
This is very enthusiastic.
I was going to say, I felt like I had won something. Like you said, like the returning, like I felt like I was like a champ or something.
Yeah, I was waving, and I was like, wait, nobody can see this, so that's why my eye was like...
Wave closer to the mic. We'll add sound effects later.
Yeah, wave closer to it.
Oh, yeah, there we go. Yeah.
Now you're doing like the John Cena. Oh. Like, now they can't see us.
Yeah. We could add that in, too. Just once, though. We don't want to get sued.
We don't want to get sued. Today, we are going to cover something that was suggested to us a long time ago, and I told this person to go do their own research, which I don't remember telling them. So I feel like a jerk for that. But they wanted to know where common phrases came from, and that's always a fun topic to talk about. And I thought it'd be fun to bring in some guests, and we can just goof around about it. So we brought the two funniest guys we know, Ja'Cory and Arthur, of Ja'Cory and Arthur on YouTube. If you want to check them out, they have a new episode of Ja'Cory and Arthur, if I can say their name one more time, that I just adore. So go check that out. But we have 15 of these phrases. I'm going to give these guys a phrase and define it, and then hopefully they can educate me as to where these phrases came from. I didn't do any research this work. I don't have any of the answers.
We have a panel of professionals. We're gonna kill five birds with seven stones.
Yes. So.
Yes.
We don't have very good accuracy.
But you're persistent. That's what matters.
Yes. That's key. It's key. Mm. I almost forgot to say, this episode comes out on Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day.
Oh, happy Valentine's Day.
Wow.
Can you feel the love?
Spending
in the air?
With those who truly matter.
Love in the air. That's one right there, actually.
Yeah.
Usually, it has to do with pheromones.
I didn't do research on
people
that.
People would spray, like, mist their pheromones
that's
onto gross. Their enemies.
That sounds, and make that them love legit. Them.
Yeah.
That's how they'd stop wars.
Yeah. Just pheromone. Just carpet bombing pheromones.
Yeah, it's like Febreze.
Yeah.
They don't have swords. They don't have guns. They have Febreze bottles.
Easy and Febreze-y.
I don't know. Right. So... thanks to all the people on our Facebook page that gave us these suggestions. There was like, I think I have like 40 suggestions from our Facebook page. So I can't get to them all. I chose the ones that sound the most interesting. And these are in no particular order. I'm sorry if we didn't get yours and you really wanted to know it.
Yeah.
Go do your own research.
Subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/strangerstill and maybe we'll notice you.
Yeah. Yeah,
I'm just saying,
senpai. So let's hop into these, shall we?
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
The first one I've got here
was hop into these. So
that actually came. We used to be frog people, actually. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Evolved from frogs, which is why there's no longer frogs.
There's a stupid, idiot, dumb conspiracy theory. There used to be lizards.
Yeah.
False. It was frogs.
Yeah, it was actually frogs. So the first one I actually have is cat got your tongue, which we all know means that you have nothing to say or you just have no words for a certain situation. Hmm. So where do you think this came from, guys? I don't know if I should direct that at one person or if you guys just want to chime in.
Like a group panel? We should have buzzers.
Yeah, we should have buzzers. That'd be fun.
Well, if we were more prepared and had a higher budget, we totally could have got buzzers. But what do you guys got? Cat got your tongue.
Anything?
Just get the cat got your tongue.
I think they're exemplifying.
I know.
Yeah.
Do you? I want to hear what you got.
Yeah, go for it.
I believe it comes from the old, maybe Hebrew slave tool of Cat of Nine Tails. It was a violent whipping tool that had sharp edges to it. Led to a lot of glass and like nails put into it to really stick into what it was whipping. And yeah, occasionally it would catch somebody's tongue and rip it out. And that was their punishment for whatever perceived crime, whether it was like robbery or running away as a slave. And the cat got their tongue.
1 point to Jacori. That's actually one of the possible origins of this. I'm going to keep track of points here.
Oh, Jesus.
So you guys are not competing against each other.
I was going with animal shelters.
But no, you're exactly right. The English Navy used it. It's been used many centuries before that. Cat of Nine Tails. Supposedly it hurt so bad that people would just shut up for days.
Okay.
There's also apparently this myth back in ancient Egypt. We all know that they were big into cats. Mm-hmm. And supposedly when people were caught lying or spreading some sort of blasphemy, their tongues would be cut out and served to cats as food. Mm. Cat got your tongue. Don't tell a lie. Just don't talk at all.
Yeah.
So that's one possible origin.
Just because Jacori's played Assassin's Creed doesn't mean... Whatever.
Was that Assassin's Creed 2?
Yeah.
Brotherhood?
I think so. Brotherhood.
The second one I got here, you've already alluded to it, John, is to kill two birds with one stone.
Mm-hmm.
Which, this is to tackle two tasks at once.
I mean,
right.
That's kind of how we take it, but does it mean that? Like, it doesn't say kill two birds with one stone at the same time. You know? Like,
how would you, like, throw one stone at one bird and then, like, 10 days later, like, chuck that same stone at another bird?
Yeah, like, yeah. Or any window that you see fit. Yeah. Like, you just keep that one stone. Kill however many birds you need to. Kill six birds with one stone.
If it's a throwing stone, it's pick-upable.
Yes.
You can kill 10 birds with one
stone. That's my throwing stone.
That's my throwing stone.
You're going above and beyond here.
I'm a serial stoner.
that's something else.
Oh.
That's something else.
Oh.
I killed 420 birds with one stone.
Please. I think that's the high score. No one's ever gone past 420.
No, someone got 420.69 once. They killed that many birds.
Damn.
Yeah.
Jeez. Wow. But nothing in between those two.
Nice.
Nice. So what do you guys think this came from? This one's a little hard. I'll see if you guys have any guesses first.
Okay, so Arthur, we need to catch up. I'm willing to split this point with you.
I'm thinking for some reason, maybe back in the, I don't know, Jesus days.
That's
right. He said something about casting the first stone or something, so that's why it's reminding me of that.
Ooh, I like that.
I don't know, maybe Jesus killed some birds with one stone.
That was
one of his like untold like miracles or something.
They're like, we're sick of fish.
Yeah. One stone cast like banked off one bird and into another.
Yeah. Ricochet.
Yeah.
It was a miracle, man.
From hunting, right?
It actually comes from Chinese proverbs. There was two different Chinese proverbs that likely were the first ones to originate this. One of them has to do with hunting. The first one, there was a phrase, one stone, two birds, which to me sounds like a really awful viral video.
Yeah.
But it was used in the context to tackle two tasks at once. There's another phrase, which was one arrow, double vultures.
That's so much more better.
That's the new name of my band that I haven't started.
Nice.
Double vultures. We're going on tour this summer. But those were both from ancient Chinese proverbs, so even before Jesus' times.
Wow. So ancient Chinese Jesus.
Yes. Ancient Chinese Jesus.
Who said, if you have an enemy, cast the first thorn at their face.
And then attack them with birds. Two vultures.
Nice.
Man, I'm so glad vultures. I'm glad we had two chances at Jesus. One was from China, one was from the Middle East. I'm so glad we had two of those.
Yeah, can't wait for the third.
The threequel.
Jesus the third.
Oh,
Revenge of Christ.
The re-Jesus thing.
Electric Boogaloo is the only sequel name that I have. Jesus 2 Electric Boogaloo.
Jesurrection. Jesus.
Millennia. Millennium. Let me just kill the momentum with the JT album name.
This is our second.
I thought it was like Man in the Woods or something.
Specifically,
I thought it was JT. I'm way off. He's got 20 something. Anyway, I don't know music. How about Keeping Up with the Joneses? That's a good phrase. I didn't know what it meant. Do you guys know what it means?
I think statistically and genetically, the Joneses were a very fast family. You know, people were kind of named after their trade, like blacksmiths were named after smiths and stuff like that.
My family was a bunch of trees, which is why my last name is Wood. Mm.
Yeah, mine were a specific type of tree, palms, palmer. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's tropical, very tropical and topical.
So where were you going with that, John? I have no idea where you were going with that.
Keeping Up with the Joneses?
Keeping
Do you even take the red pill? Do you not watch Alex?
Oh.
Do you not watch Alex?
I would be so
Everybody
much
knows that Alex Jones is a really fast runner.
Yeah. Have you seen his after he took all those pills?
Yeah. Very red. Very fast.
Which actually brings us to our next phrase, rolling like a barrel downhill. Alex Jones, once he gets momentum, he just keeps going.
You can't stop that, man.
There's no stopping it.
There's no way you can keep up with the Joneses.
So this one actually means to like keep up with your neighbor's social status. Neighbor is a loose term, just like your peers, whatever you want to call them. And this one has a little bit more of a modern origin. It came from between the 1910s and 1930s. So we've gotten out of ancient times, right? We'll get even more recent coming up here. It's kind of strange how recent some of these are. But it came from a comic strip that was called Keeping Up with the Joneses, where this dude just made jokes about people trying to impress each other and how we're just obsessed with impressing other people. And that's where it came from. Some dude had that big of an influence.
I thought it would come from like a advertisement. Mm-hmm. Like, keep up with the Joneses. Buy this vacuum that doesn't put out lead.
Yeah, I thought it would come from television.
Doesn't put out lead?
Now, with less lead.
Oh, well, I guess you're
right. It's the 30s.
And there's just lead everywhere. Mm-hmm. The next one here, I wish that this was used more frequently. I have As the Crow Flies.
I'm a fan of that one.
That just means to, like, it's like going in a straight line, like to make a beeline as the crow flies.
Nah, it just means you stop for pretty much any French fry you see.
Yeah. Yeah, I would do that.
Any just random French fry. It doesn't matter if it's someone's hand, if it's on the ground, like just any French fry.
You'll want to stop at McDonald's on the way.
Exactly. You know, might be in the dumpster, whatever, but just as the crow flies, stop for any French fries. See, that's the end of the phrase.
Is that the origin of the phrase?
Do you think the one potato goodness from? Origin?
Thanks to McDonald's?
The crispy slender potato origin?
Yeah. This one, no one can really agree on how this one came about. A couple people said that sailors would keep a caged crow on board, and if they got lost at sea, they would let the crow go. And since crows, as we all know, hate the ocean, the crow would fly to the nearest land, and they would follow the crow. Apparently, they're also like supernatural. They know where all the land is.
It's not supernatural. They just hate the ocean so much. I saw them picketing the other day.
hey, ho, all these oceans I've got to go.
They get really organized.
Yeah, that's why they're called murder, is because if you get organized, they just kill you.
Yeah.
That's how it works. But the most likely origin of this comes from 1767. There was a piece of literature called London Review of English and Foreign Language, and it said
favorite should have a U in it. That was the first page.
There's no U's in here. There's just no U's.
A London Review of English.
It said the Spaniard, if on foot, always travels as the crow flies, which the openness and dryness, blah, 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 blah. He was referring to a Scottish term called the crow road, which meant the most direct route. So he was kind of taking some liberties with what was already a term in Scotland, and it became as the crow flies.
Because the name of the street was Crow.
Yeah.
Like Crow Street.
Yeah. And he's like, I can make this more poetic.
As the Main Street falls. That's disappointing.
With Valentine's Day coming up, I think it's important to cover the phrase, carry your heart on your sleeve. Because this is a huge problem with kids today. There's all these viral videos of kids cutting out their hearts and putting it on their sleeves.
Yeah. Thanks, Logan Paul.
A few people have died or gone to the hospital. So it just means to be very open about your emotions. Mm-hmm. So where do you guys think to wear your heart on your sleeve comes from?
I think I'm going to ask the sweetheart of the panel, Mr. Arthur.
Jesus, this is like, no, this is
I'm telling you,
someone just like took it literally one day and they just made a phrase off of it. Like the guy's like, oh, he's just so in love with this woman, he really liked her, and he's like, you know what, I'm gonna put my heart on my sleeve. Like that'll show her how much I love her. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I don't know what year, maybe, I don't know, 20 years ago? Who knows?
20 years ago.
Yeah.
This one,
98 was a loveling year.
I'm going to go like Price is Right anti-rules and go 21 years ago.
Yeah.
For the point.
Okay. Cool. For the point.
You're kind of on the right track in that it was very poetic in its original meaning.
Shakespeare.
Shakespeare, yes.
Yeah!
Do you want
in your face, Arthur?
Okay, no, wow. That's great. That's a good
audio. Thanks for that. Sorry, headphones users.
Valiant effort.
Yeah. It came from, I think it was Othello. I didn't write it down because I'm an idiot. But scene one, Iago states, but I will wear my heart upon my sleeve for Dawes to peck at.
Ew, dude.
Yeah.
For what to peck at?
Dawes. I don't know what, like, Dawes Butler, the voice actor? I don't know. Beats me. But this meant that he would make himself vulnerable to the outside world. And over time, being vulnerable in some regards has become synonymous with being emotional. Mm-hmm. And thus, a very poetic way of saying you're emotional.
It's adorable. And I was just being coy back there. Of course, I know everything. Dogs are a type of ancient bird that were so cute that even if they ate your heart, you go,
Like little penguins or something.
Yep.
Yeah.
You let a penguin eat my heart.
Me too.
I probably would.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's the most vegan thing I could do. Yeah.
Actually, I looked over. Sorry, go on, Ja'Cory.
No, I was just agreeing with that being the most vegan thing you could do.
I looked over at you after you said that, and you had this look of on your face like, wait, would I? Would I let a penguin eat my heart? We can. Do you want to keep talking about love here?
I'd love to.
Yeah.
Because the next one, I thought I had one about love, and now I'm looking through my notes. I'm like, oh, crap. Oh, how about falling head over heels? Which means to be either pretty much deeply infatuated with someone. You're just like so in love with someone that you are head over heels.
Yeah.
This one threw me off for a while because that's, you know, if you're head over your heels, like everything's in order. Like that's how it should be. Your head should be over your heels.
Yeah.
Generally speaking.
Like, right? Vertically.
Yeah, like vertically speaking, right? Like
horizontally, if you trip forward, your head's going over your heels. It doesn't make sense, though. I agree with you.
Yeah.
Maybe this was invented in space.
Now you've made me really want to sit back and analyze this thing, because now I'm really confused. Head over heels makes no sense at all.
Yeah.
Because you could pull head over heels backwards or forward.
But your head's like, always above your heels.
Yeah.
Until you're on the ground, and then it's not.
Exactly. And then it doesn't make sense.
Goodness gracious. Now my whole life is
so
a lie.
So head under heels.
Would be more like, yeah.
I'm falling head under heels for this.
Head under heels.
That sounds really
that
negative.
That sounds like I'm getting curb stomped. Yeah.
Right.
That head under heel. Ooh.
Definitely.
Tripping over my dumb feet over this person.
Yeah.
This one came from, it didn't start out meaning that you were in love with someone. It started out meaning that you were just like super excited. There's this dude in 1771, 5 years before we became a country, Herbert Lawrence wrote in Contemplative Man.
A lot to be excited about back then.
I know. people were charging too much for tea, you know, the whole shebang.
Yeah, Paris, I tell you.
I mean, technically. But he wrote, he gave him such a violent involuntary kick to the face as drove him head over heels. So
a donkey or human?
Some sort of thing excited him so much that it kicked him in the face and he went tumbling through the air.
Sir Charles Norris of Spain.
Yeah. Are we still making Chuck Norris jokes?
I'm trying to bring it back.
In the year of our Lord 2018?
In the year of our Lord Chuck Norris, yes.
I guess it would make sense if you're like rolling down a hill and you're doing tumbling. Then, yeah, doing a cartwheel and you're going head over heels over head over heel or like
over and over. I guess that's the imagery that's supposed to conjure up, but... Now you've just like shattered my whole.
If we're going by like sports rules, though, I'd say there had to be at least two tumbles. Mm-hmm. You know? You do it once, you just head on the ground.
You have to have a series.
I'm feet off the floor.
Otherwise, it's not a touchdown. So then eventually it became some sort of meaning for love in 1833. So like a full 60 years later, people started using it to mean that they had been so stricken with love that they had gone flying and tumbling through the air.
Mm-hmm.
So I like these ones where we have like exact origins of them instead of like, well, it could have been some crows were on a boat once. But, one that I had always heard when I was a kid and I thought I knew the origin to this was it's raining cats and dogs, which is to say that it's downpouring quite heavily outside. So did you guys ever hear some sort of origin when you were younger, or is that just me?
Yeah, so the cat of nine tip. No, I'm just kidding.
Jacory's in the loop.
Nah, I don't know. You know?
I've heard of it, but I don't know the origin,
Yeah, I'd always heard that, like, back in the day, like, all the storefronts had awnings and cats and dogs would sleep up there, and then it would rain so hard it would, like, wash them out.
I also
read that, like, cats and dogs would sleep on thatch roofs, and those are a lot easier to be washed off when they became slippery. Mm-hmm. Apparently that's not true, which also shattered my world. This term came from a dude named Henry Vaughan in a poem in 1651. He just used it's raining cats and dogs. There's also some suggestions it could come from Greek or Norse symbolism, where in Norse mythology, dogs and wolves were a sign of strong winds, whereas black cats were a sign of storm. The Greeks had a phrase, katadoxa, which I guess kind of sounds like cats and dogs, which meant contrary to popular belief, which I guess... they would use it to say the rain was unexpected.
So it's like a Mad Libs thing.
what do you call it?
It's raining katadoxa. It's raining contrary to popular belief, idiot. Well, just look outside.
There's another example of that with Old English. There was a word katadupa, which meant waterfall. So it could have been transformed from that.
We could forget that famous TLC song. Don't go chasing katadupa.
We make our Weird Al parody of that after we're done recording.
Please.
We are on it.
All right, perfect.
What a disappointing word waterfalls is for the rest of my life now.
Catadupa.
I want to use that all the time. I just want to learn like all the old English phrases and just annoy my friends with them.
Yeah.
So that's our next episode. Sorry. How about sleep tight?
That one comes from prison.
Damn.
That's too real. It means to sleep soundly. Came from 1961 when some guy was shanked in prison and Bubba was trying to make him his friend. Mm-hmm. I was kidding. Where do you guys think this came from?
Well, it does come from prison. So two inmates, like they're friendly and one of them just wants the other one to be super warm.
Yeah,
hey, right. Hey man, sleep tight.
I like that. Nice little sushi roll blanket.
Yeah.
A little sashimi boy. I'd rather
give him blankets in prison, so they have to cuddle up.
I'm in love with that superhero, sashimi boy.
Sashimi boy.
I'm going to put you on rice like sashimi. He's got to say his own name.
He's got a sidekick named Soy Boy.
Soy Boy. you don't want to mess with Wasabi Boy. He gets sassy.
He gets really spicy.
He's a spicy boy.
Yeah. He's a spicy boy. So there's kind of this misconception out there that it came from back in the day before they had like Casper mattresses or whatever. You would prop your mattresses up on a bunch of ropes. So to keep the mattress nice and firm, you would tighten the ropes. But one website I came across said that this isn't very likely. There's also this idea that when you pair it with "Don't let the bed bugs bite," "Good night, sleep tight, don't let the bed bugs bite," you were wrapping yourself up so tightly so that the bugs couldn't get in. Mm. That's also very likely.
This it's sounds awful, frightening. But hold on,
it seems terrifying.
Can you imagine a human reality where I'm like, all right, well, what year was this that this will happen with the tightening?
The rope. Middle Ages, I think.
The Middle Ages. Sure. It was fun slaying that dragon. I hope that you tighten your ropes enough so the bugs don't eat you.
Like, that's the thing you have to worry
about. See you tomorrow.
You know that dragons weren't real, right, John?
You're just not keeping up with the Joneses.
Oh, sorry. So phrases.org.uk, which is a great source for many of these, said that both of these are possible but unlikely. It likely came from the fact that it's just a simple rhyme to good night, sleep tight, let the bugs bite. I'll kind of let you guys make your own decision for which one you think is the best explanation. But I'm going to go with what this phrases.org.uk said because they sound official.
I really like Arthur's jail buddy story. They're just so cuddly and friendly.
I'll throw the rest of these out the window.
Okay.
I'm going to give Arthur a point for his explanation. So now you have to catch up, John.
Yay. Okay.
One of my favorite phrases is "curiosity killed the cat," just because it's incredibly morbid. Simply means that being curious could put you in some sort of danger. And I'd love to hear where you guys think this one came from.
Ouch. Well, I mean, I see cats dead on the road all the time, so they're like super curious. Like, why are those cars going so fast? Wait, what are cars? Hold on. Yeah, and then that's where it came from.
The other thing that's really sad is when you get a cat on that deep web, and they find out a little too much.
Yeah. Just like off himself, or where are you going with
that? Off himself. Well, you know.
I mean, he came to an untimely end.
Right,
the deep state got him.
Fell off the back of the truck.
This one came from a play as well. I keep trying to say 19 something something. This came from 1598 from "Every Man in His Humor." The original quote was "Carol kill a cat," and "care" in this instance meant worrying or feeling sorrow will kill the cat. Eventually, that turned into curiosity somehow. Not really sure why. There's also the common reply.
Who said that?
I don't have the dude's name that wrote the play, but it was in the play "Every Man in His Humor" with a U.
Wow. What a cold dude. Yeah. You shouldn't care or it'll kill you.
Yeah. Don't care about people. It'll kill you.
I cared about someone once. It was terrible.
I'll never have a girlfriend again for that reason. There's the reply, "but satisfaction brought it back." Have you ever heard that? Curiosity killed the cat, but satisfaction brought it back.
Satisfaction brought it back. Yeah,
I've never heard that part.
This could either be, it wasn't part of the original quote, so a lot of people think that it came about as a reply to just be like, hey, I'll do what I want, jerk. Or it could be a reference to cats' 9 lives and how they just keep coming back and they're always curious and they keep dying.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good thing something so mundane kills them because they do die a lot.
It's a good thing they have 9 lives too, otherwise we'd have a lot less cats in this world.
All right.
I think mine only have 7 left each.
They have 7 left, and like they pulled their lives. Like among them, they have 7 left. It's no one specific. They just as it comes. All right, guys, we got 7 left. Be careful today. All right.
Don't go near the radiators. Got bad wiring.
Yeah. You already used up 2, Tom. Settle down.
Nice, Tomcat. I get it. It's a good one. let's sit here and talk about how good that joke was.
I'm down.
How about "skeleton in your closet"? Or, I've never heard this one before, but people will also say "skeleton in your cupboard."
Oh, wow. Mm. English. Mm. Very English.
Yes, very English.
Yeah, very English.
Contrary to popular belief.
This came from Eminem, I know.
Yeah. Skeletons are real.
Yeah.
Okay. I know you see them in Halloween decorations all
but
over the place.
They're inside your body right
they're
now.
They're in you right now. Don't freak out. Is that trademark?
I'm kind
of. Is Jimmy Dore gonna bust in or?
I don't think so.
Okay. Skeletons in your closet.
Yeah. Where'd this one come
from? Your body's kind of like a closet where you keep all your organs, right?
Yeah.
It's where I keep my skeletons.
I don't like that.
Excuse me. My body's more of a cupboard. Thank you.
I will never make that mistake again. This one, we're kind of getting into some shorter ones. I don't know if I got lazy with research or these ones were just really easy to research. But this one, we've talked about grave robbing before and how it started with early medical research. Mm-hmm. So they dig up bodies. This was illegal. It was illegal to have the dead bodies and dissect them. And this phrase comes from there as well. So back then, grave robbers, doctors, and students would hide their bodies in some sort of closet or cupboard in case the police came a knocking.
Yuck.
Yeah. Super easy and super disgusting. How about rolling in their grave while we're talking about dead people? I love this phrase too. There was a Reddit thread.
Yes, my wife, I was just going to mention it.
Yeah, this is how she got the idea. It was like, if rolling in your grave was real, who would generate the most power by being hooked up to a generator? Which is like the best question ever.
Yeah. That's really
Martin Luther King would be pretty stoked right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He'd be powering a small city.
Mm-hmm.
But this one, what do you guys think this came from?
Rolling in your grave.
Well, just to burst your bubble, I'm sorry. This one came from
the putting Molly on dead bodies.
And they'd just be rolling.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I wish that was real. I don't think they had Molly back in the 1800s.
Okay.
It's as real as you want to make it, man. Close to cemetery.
You got to find some way to entertain yourself, right? So back in the mid-1800s, there's a lot of documented cases of people just using it like out of nowhere. I think the first use that was documented was a guy referencing another man making advancements on a widow. Saying that those advancements would make the deceased husband roll on his grave. There's a bunch of other uses in like 1864, 1888, 1899. So by the 1900s, it was already just like a term.
Yeah.
People were just like, yeah, that's the thing.
It's kind of accepted lexicon.
Yeah, it's weird. Very it's got like this there's like big origin.
An elite group of like weird poets that mm-hmm. existed, and if one of them used something, everyone's like, oh, this is cool now.
I'm gonna use this.
Yeah.
Have you guys ever
I'm glad that doesn't exist today.
Like
if there were a group of poets or musicians that came up with a phrase that everybody started using.
Yeah, like, I'm really glad that doesn't happen now.
Gone. Yeah.
It'd be a shame if, like, I don't know, Justin Bieber said stuff that we all just started saying.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it'd be a shame if all of a sudden we just started getting crunk.
Yeah. We dabbed on them.
We just started dabbing.
We should get back to this conversation. It was pretty lit.
All of us, yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty lit. I'm glad it's gone.
Your outfit is just like total swag. Is that how kids say
Thank
it?
You.
Yeah. Something's fleeking, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think your water bottle's fleeking.
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
Unplug that.
I want to put some duct tape on that.
Get a towel.
Speaking of water, have you ever heard don't throw the baby out with the bathwater?
No. I gotta go. I've just forgot something.
Uh-oh. So it's just us and Arthur now. I'm just kidding. So this one isn't used like at all, but I always hear it when people talk about weird phrases. It just means that don't throw something valuable out with your garbage.
Wow. Babies are more valuable than garbage.
Yeah. I thought the baby was the garbage.
No, you don't want to throw your baby out with garbage.
Yeah,
don't throw the water out with the baby.
You know how valuable bath water is?
Yeah. You gotta steep that baby in there. Yeah.
When you get the replacement baby, you're gonna need it. Yeah.
You're onto something. Back in the 1500s, bath water actually was incredibly valuable.
Yeah.
Because people bathe like once or twice a year,
mm-hmm.
and they would all share the same bath water.
Yeah. Mm. Are you crazy? Don't throw that baby out with the bathwater. You know how valuable that is?
Yeah. My wife doesn't smell like Funyuns anymore. It's great. Don't throw it away.
They'd probably be pretty jazzed back then if their wife smelled like Funyuns.
Yeah, you have hints of that.
They're pretty good. I never had Funyuns before, but I just had Flamin' Hot Funyuns the other day, and they were good.
Yeah.
That's a review.
Funyuns were nostalgic.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's cool with those little chocolate cookies called Chortles.
I've never had
You guys have those?
No.
Chortles? East Coast thing?
Chortles. I thought that was when you like threw up and burped in your mouth at the same time.
Kind of tasted like that.
Yeah. Chortle. Oh, I just chortled.
It was super on brand.
Gross. So this phrase came back when the family would share bath water, and by the time like it would start at the head of the household and work its way down for who got to use it. So by the time it got to the baby, the water was so dark and cloudy that there was this fear that you would lose your baby in the bathwater and throw the baby out when you were getting rid of the water.
Well, I mean, if you lost the baby under the cloudy bathwater, don't you already have a problem?
Yes.
It seems like the baby's already got its own issue going on. it might resolve the issue, actually, if the bathwater gets dumped out, because then it's like, oh, thank God I was in the bottom of that tub because I can't swim.
It's deep.
Yeah.
That is. Babies are little. They're probably much smaller back then.
I don't know. I learned from Scientology that if you just, like, throw a baby in a lake, its past lives will make it know how to swim. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Thanks, Tom Cruise, for that one.
Yeah.
Cruising for a bruising, which is our next one.
Our next one is close but no cigar. So, John, you were close but no cigar.
Oh.
I like how I did that transition. Now I'm going to talk about how I did that transition. This is when you come close to an objective, but you didn't quite make it all the way there. And I feel like I knew this at some point. Do you guys know where this one came from?
Close but no cigar.
Don't.
No?
This is a setup. We can't guess anything, and you're going to say it to us.
Yeah, you were close but no cigar. This one, the best guess. back in the golden age of carnivals, carnival games would give out cigars as prizes, which is awesome for like three-year-olds. They're just like smoking
cigars.
They
look really sick.
Yeah,
they're super cool.
Like Boss Baby or something. It came about Boss Baby. It came about if you came close to the prize, which was a cigar, but you didn't quite make it. Ta-da.
Ta-da, no cigar.
It got super easy.
Invigorating.
Now after that one, I'm sure you guys have a lot of egg on your face because you couldn't come up with a funny joke, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How about that phrase? Where did that one come from?
Egg on your face?
I bet you guys can get this one if you try really hard.
That's a clue. Really hard. Hard. Huh. Throwing. Throwing hard.
Yes.
Throwing at my face.
Yes.
Throwing eggs over my head.
No.
Comedians.
Yes, you're very close.
Clowns.
Entertainers. Like,
go back even further.
Cave people. Cave people faces.
No, not that.
Scrambled eggs.
Come back to me.
Sunny side up. Friendlies. Denny's.
IHOP.
Damn it. I was going to say IHOP.
It is IHOP. Came from IHOP. Yes. It's one of their dishes.
Wow.
You can get on Sundays free for kids.
Everybody was wasteful and terrible back then.
Yeah.
You go to the theater with cabbage and tomatoes and eggs and you throw them at people's faces.
Yes.
Point.
Yeah.
John finally has a point. Back in the day, they would have tomatoes, but in some of the more rural areas or
bourgeois,
poorer, I don't know if that's where, areas.
Oh, poorer.
Poorer areas.
You think you gotta get a pretty penny for an egg.
No.
For a henny.
Not quite.
Egg. That's henny. What they call them, hennies.
I hate you so much right now. back in the day, if someone was doing a poor theatrical performance, people would throw eggs at them, and then they'd have egg on their face.
I mean, if they have good aim.
Yeah, I mean, you do have to have the aim. Otherwise, it's just on stage left. But
yeah.
I wonder what made them transition to tomatoes instead of eggs.
I think that was the richer people. The richer people had the tomatoes.
I appreciate you saying that we're richer as a people, the Italians. But we just prefer tomatoes. It's the produce that we –
it's the closest you have to eggs.
It does more mess. Yeah.
It is mess. They're in the round food category.
Yeah. You get the tomato to split open. That's going everywhere. You're not getting that out of your hair for days.
Yep.
It could also mean that you're just a sloppy eater, and that's something to be embarrassed about.
You have some egg on your face.
Right. Get that out of your beard, you sloppy hobo. I don't know.
Your cheeks are fleeking. Egg. Your mouth's fleeking eggs.
You just fleeked egg juice everywhere.
Yeah.
Gross. I don't like that.
Yeah, maybe uncomfortable to say. I'm sorry.
I wish we had video. He's just so solemn about it.
Yeah. Just totally. I didn't realize this, but we only have one left.
Oof.
And I wish I had a transition to this one, but the phrase that I have is jump the gun. Do you know where this one came from? I bet you guys can get this one too.
Mm.
If you think back to early Olympics, there we go. That's on topic.
Oh, okay. So when they would like...
Yep.
When the, what is it
called?
Come
on, you got this.
They would all jump a guy because he pulled a gun on them in the Olympic parking lot. It was in the ski tunnel with Tanya Harding. She got a gun pulled on her,
and they had to jump the person with the gun.
Yes.
Final answer.
Okay. Well, winner.
That's we did actually, it. Okay. All right.
We did it. All right.
StrangerSocial.com's website.
Just in case anyone's wondering, this came from back in the day of foot races when they would start off the race with a gun. Some people got a little too ahead of themselves, and they would start the race before the gun went off, and that just don't jump the gun. You jerk.
They jumped it.
Imagine how embarrassing that is. Yeah. Just like to start running by yourself.
Totally.
Still.
It's worse in football, though, because you... they have replay. Instant replay. They're like in slow motion. They show you like not paying attention and being like, "Oh, I thought we were going, guys."
You didn't hear a gun. I heard a gun.
I'm glad that we have that culture that we keep guns in football.
Yeah me too. Yeah. Shout out Plexico Burris.
Third quarter.
Yeah. Is that how they start off the third quarter? With a gun? Someone getting shot?
Every one of them.
They do in New England. At the Patriots Stadium, whenever they score a touchdown, they all fire muskets into the air.
Oh, jeez.
And then, real? Yeah. And then Aaron Hernandez grabbed one and, you know, did his thing.
Man. Wow. I didn't know that. Hey, we actually learned something today. Yeah. Look at that. Yeah. So that's all I got. I had a bunch of other suggestions that I wanted to go through, like kick the bucket, which we all know.
We should have a speed round.
Yeah, double what do you points. Think that comes from? I don't have any research behind these. Kick the bucket.
Humans are made out of like 98% water. And if you were to put that water in a bucket and kick it, you'd be all over the floor and dead.
Yeah. That's it.
The next one.
Next question.
Okay. How about skin of your teeth?
Oh. We shave our teeth these days, but
yeah. When humans are born, they have skin on their teeth.
Yep. What's the next one?
Point blank.
Hey, what's that over there? Oh, it's nothing.
It's blank.
Yeah. Wow, you sure did point blank.
Where should I sign on this piece of paper?
Point
right here.
We're here.
Oh my god, guys. Okay, we'll do two more. How about jump the shark? I actually do know the answer to this one.
I was from Fonzie.
Yeah. It is the Fonz, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, from Happy Days.
Happy Days, yeah.
There was like a scene where he literally jumped the shark, and then they just associated that with like
going downhill.
Yeah, like they just. Yeah, because the show would go downhill after that.
Yeah.
They just like overdid it. What, like an over exaggeration or something like that? Yeah.
Yep. Exactly.
Yeah.
What about? I know the answer to this one too. Mad as a Hatter. That's a really easy one.
Mad as a Hatter.
Drugs.
Alice in Wonderland.
Alice in Wonderland. Drugs. Put them together.
Mad as a Hatter. It came before that, actually.
Oh.
Yeah.
People that would make hats are pretty nuts.
You gotta be crazy to make a hat.
In this economy? Come on. it actually came from, you would have to be crazy to make hats because hat makers would use a lot of lead and it drove them to insanity.
Oh. Always so lead with you. Right? Yeah.
Just chewing on paint chips. But that's all I got. Do you guys got anything else for me before we go to a quick break?
Oh, man.
No. I mean, I can't think of any other phrases.
Early bird gets the worm.
Yeah. That, as we all know, comes from
the early bird special at Denny's.
Denny's.
I come full circle. Yeah.
Denny's, sponsor us, please.
Yes.
Yeah. Anyway.
Or serve us. Just like I'd be super stoked if I just like went into a Denny's and got served once.
I'll take a 10% discount.
I'll just start with like getting some water. If I could just get a water in a Denny's like that, we're already off to a great start.
It's been such a long time. Just let Ja'Cory back in.
You know, I just guys, listen. That little kid was asking to be pooped on. I was making a point, and quite frankly, he deserved it.
You know, I don't know this kid, but I agree with you. No. So we'll take a quick break here.
Yeah, don't have your 23rd birthday at Denny's, is all I'm saying.
If there's anything we learned today.
You pooped on a 23-year-old?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I'm from Boston. Yeah, we say kid as like a full-grown adult. Yeah, he's not having a great time.
God, but you're a sicko, Nick. Come on.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just don't know. Should we take a quick break? And we'll come back. And I have a list from one of our listeners, Jason, who provided 14 strange international phrases.
Wow.
I want to figure out if we can decide what they mean.
I'm looking forward to listening to that.
That's actually a phrase people don't know, is listeners just come up with lists.
Yep. Listeners.
We'll come back after this break, and as I always say, poop on a kid, you don't have to tip.
Just like grandma used to say.
Yep.
We have Ja'Cory. And we have Arthur.
Together they are Ja'Cory and Arthur.
And you can find them at...
Where can people find you guys?
On youtube.com/Ja'Cory and Arthur, I think, or JNA. Bad plug, right? And Instagram...
Don't think to you, don't worry.
Instagram is Ja'Cory.Arthur. And that's all we've got so far.
And in real life, I take the train a lot.
So if you just go to the train station.
Yeah, just like wait at train stations for me and you'll see me.
mostly sleep, yeah.
Yeah, Arthur's bed is a good place to find him.
Yeah, yeah.
Just like try not to wake him up. Just like wait till he wakes up naturally.
16 hours
you
a day.
You just sit inside his room and wait to hear some bass. Some like.
Yeah, exactly.
That's actually, I just yawn and he wakes up.
I live and breathe it, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you can also find them on the Young Turks if you want to check out our favorite news source. And we're not just saying that because you are on our show.
Yeah. It's like the Super Bowl. The only time you're not getting depressed is the commercials.
Yeah.
Which is when Ja'Cory and Arthur come on.
Yeah.
I like it. Thank you, guys.
Yeah. If you want to find us, you can find us where you found us, that you're listening to us. You can also leave us reviews on iTunes and all that.
You guys have a Yelp page?
Is that a thing for podcasts?
I don't know. We should make it a thing.
Let's make
we
it a thing.
Make that.
Yeah.
Do they accept credit cards?
How is their parking?
Yeah. Our bathroom is awful. No one.
Are you guys a Pokemon Go stop?
Unfortunately, no.
Damn.
Yeah, we've gotten a lot of complaints about it. We've been trying to partner with Niantic, and this joke is getting way too real.
2 stars.
So I've got some really interesting phrases here. I'm going to find the most interesting ones.
How many of them have yous in them, Nick?
The first one has one you. Two yous, sorry.
Vacuum.
Great word.
Separated. So I'm not going to look at the definitions of these. I'm just going to say them, and we're going to try to figure out what they mean. How about there is no cow on the ice? You know.
There is no what? Cow?
No cow on the ice.
Uh-huh.
Just like grandma used to say.
That actually, that comes from Wendy's.
Yeah.
They're never frozen beef patties. There's go into any Wendy's and into any back of their kitchen, and I can guarantee you there is no cow on the ice.
Yep. Wendy's is not an American fast food chain. They're actually from Britain.
Yeah.
And it was Sir Wendell who actually...
Well, these are international. They're not all from the UK.
He went by Wendy for short.
How about...
Move to Seattle, the Wendy City.
That's Chicago, you ding dong.
Now it is.
How about feeding the donkey sponge cake?
What? Whoa.
Honestly, that's because if we're all being honest, sponge cake is dog. And the only person that really deserves to eat it is a donkey.
Like, I've never had sponge cake.
Screw donkey.
You don't need to. I think it's sponge cake the same thing as angel food cake?
I love angel food cake.
Really? I think angel food cake just is like, it's like diet cake. It's just, it's like cake minus the things that make cake great, like the moisture and the thickness.
It depends on the moisture, yeah.
Yeah, I've been scarred by having only light and dry.
That's what it sounds like, dude.
Angel food
I want
cakes.
A cake that's going to take the wetness out of my mouth, you know?
You know, like make it dry like a desert, just.
Desert cake.
Sandpaper cake.
I think your explanation fits. I got a more challenging one for you here. I'm not hanging noodles on your ears.
Thank you. I appreciate that. What's the next phrase?
I can't even. How about to give someone a pumpkin?
Aww.
Where did these
I want to hear the.
From?
I wish that he had context and sentences. Like, hey, yeah, I hung out with Tiffany last night. I gave her a pumpkin.
It's a romantic gesture.
Oh, that's so sweet. Did you go to Helzenberg Diamond? Yeah, I proposed. Yeah,
you went to Jared's. Get it right. Sponsor us, Jared's. how about straighten the horn and kill the bull?
Ooh, that's violent.
Spain?
Yeah, it sounds like Spain from bullfighting.
This one apparently comes from Japan.
Huh.
What? Okay.
That's don't try to fix something that's not broken is what I think that means.
Let's see what it says. It says stuffing something up completely by insisting on correcting a minor flaw. What? Okay, sure.
Wait, say it again. What's the phrase?
Stuffing?
It says stuffing something up completely by insisting on correcting a minor flaw.
Oh,
so,
no,
like,
I meant the original phrase.
Oh, straighten the horns and kill the bull.
Oh, okay, that makes sense now. Yeah,
I like, thought that what you were reading second horn. Was the phrase. I was floats off the tongue.
How about this last one here? God give nuts.
No.
That's it.
And that's it.
God gave us nuts on the eighth day. He's like, you guys are missing something. Nuts.
And that's how babies are made.
That's how babies are made.
Nothing we say is going to actually be funnier than this, but God gives nuts to the man with no teeth.
Yeah, man. He needed something.
He needs to compensate for something, right? Gross. That's all I want to go through on that article. A lot of them are just really weird. So
it's cold-blooded. God gave the man with no teeth nuts. Like, side note. Like, nuts are really hard to chew with teeth. Like, I know. And let's assume they're not already cracked nuts because God's not like a processed food plant. So, you know, just giving them shelled nuts. Like, how is he supposed to get into these?
He's like, you already have teeth. Hey, listen.
At least the cashews. I was going to go the opposite direction. I'm going to make up a new phrase, which is, God gives the man with no teeth and no thumbs pistachios.
Oh, no.
It's dark.
I'm going to use that going forward.
John 5:17.
It takes like 10 years to get through that phrase, but it's worth it. So I think that'll do it for us this week. What do you think?
I think so. I think we should all come up with our own as we sign off.
I did mine. So now it's your turn, John. Come up with a phrase.
It's not coming up. It's reciting my lifelong phrase.
Yeah.
Which is so deep that I need more time to really reflect on how it's going to affect the audience. So why don't you guys go first?
I mean, I'll lead with my grandma's famous saying, if you can't make two spoons lick a fish, then what's the point in taking a left?
Yeah.
And that of course means...
That of course means, you know, give it a chance.
Okay. Got it. What about you?
Man.
Follow that one.
I have nothing but don't put a ladder on a camera.
Mm. That's solid advice.
It's just, I think it's pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah.
Here's bad luck.
Well, if I remember correctly, that came from the early days of silent film. And that's how they discovered sound in films is someone stood on a ladder on a camera and it cracked.
Yeah. It's like, oh my God.
It's like, what?
That made noise.
Yeah.
Yep.
Do it again.
And just as, you know, growing up over the years, as my family always said to me, and I always took it to heart, and I've even got a little tattoo if you guys want to see.
No, actually, don't.
I'll wait a little bit. Don't trust grandpa. And it means love always wins.
Okay. All right. With that, I'm still Nick.
I'm still John.
We're still Ja'Cory.
And Arthur.
And this is Stranger Still.
John, do we need to talk? What's going on, bud?
Microphones are off. Let's really talk about this. Oh my God.